We are happy to welcome to us over the telephone line this afternoon, talented comedian, actress, disability advocate, and tap dancer, Maysoon Zaid joins us. Maysoon, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, I'm so happy to be with you, but I kind of feel like I have the biggest competition of my life right now because Barack Obama is about to go live on television at the exact same moment that I'm going live on air. And I don't know why he didn't take me into consideration, but he didn't.
Well, I think what he realized is this, that there was only one person who could potentially upstage you, and that's him. But, you know, people can always go listen to him. It'll be everywhere. It'll be all over social media.
Yes, it'll be streaming. So stick with us right now because we're doing it live and then you can catch up later.
Right. And you can't beat the magic of live. I also have to apologize to you. We were scheduled to have you on last week and my foolish email provider sent our friend Danny's post into my spam folder for some reason, and I didn't have your number, and you didn't have our number, so I apologize.
The deep state. I feel like this was something the deep state has done to stop us.
I think that's it. There were choppers flying over our studio, jamming the signal.
Where is your studio?
We're in Bangor, Maine.
Oh, no, I love Bangor so much.
You've been here?
Yeah, I did comedy at... oh my gosh, what's it called? The Musical Institute.
The Collins Center?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have been in Bangor. Maine,
wonderful.
I love Bangor.
Well, yeah. We're so glad. Well, you're doing such wonderful work, but how are you handling what's going on here with the quarantine and social distancing in the age of COVID-19 and coronavirus?
Well, I've basically been a shut-in since March 14th because I have cerebral palsy. And it's a neurological disorder, and in my case, I shake all the time, and that includes my lungs. So I'm really high risk. So since March 14th, the only time I leave my house is to walk 3 miles a day with my 73-year-old mother, and we walk on opposite sides of the street. Now, we've been walking together for years and years, but the big difference isn't only that I'm on the opposite side of the street. It's that now she's screams her criticisms at me instead of just speaking them. So it's really fun that like whole neighborhoods get to be entertained by our mother-daughter relationship. And the other thing is that on March 4th, I got a phone call from my agents letting me know that all of my shows for the foreseeable future had been canceled. I've been a touring stand-up comic for 17 years. I'm like Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. I die without applause. So it was a huge adjustment that I had to make to go from, you know, doing 200 and 280 shows a year to now everything going online and being virtual and not being able to hear the audience and not being able to figure which camera, to look in. So that's been like a huge challenge for me. And when people ask me how I'm doing, I say I oscillate between being the most productive that I've ever been in my life. I'm doing a comic book series for 10 to 12-year-olds, and I finished the first volume. I've started the second volume and an outline for a third. I'm doing virtual shows online. I have my first professional virtual gig for Family Cafe on June 19th. So I oscillate between being highly, highly productive and sitting in a corner petting my cat, quietly humming to myself as I eat Doritos.
By the way, we have to ask, since you brought her up, how is Beyonce?
Beyonce the cat is loving life because Mama is home every single day and she finds that very enjoyable. And when I tour, if I tour domestically, she flies with me. So she's really enjoying having a break from being groped by the TSA because whenever I fly with her, I have to take her out and they wipe down her little furry paws like a little terror kitty. And so she's enjoying not having to go and be manhandled at TSA. And she also enjoys the fact that we're starting to look alike because in the before time, I used to always get I'm Arab, I'm Palestinian. And in the before time, I used to always get dipped in a vat of wax from my nose to my toes and they would just rip. But now, because of social distancing and trying not to join one of the 105,000 Americans who we have lost to this horrific virus, I can't go to salons. So now I look like the love child of Frida Kahlo and Bert from Sesame Street, as well as a hobbit. And because I look like a hobbit, Beyonce is loving it because we're twinning.
Yeah, and you've talked about this too. There are certainly some added challenges to being quarantined when you have a disability.
Yeah. So I'm one of the lucky ones because even though I'm suffering appearance-wise, my biggest challenge in the quarantine is that I can't get massages because with the cerebral palsy and the fact that I shake all the time, it's exhausting, and my muscles really need that kind of manipulation. So I've been in abject pain because I can't get a massage, but it's nothing compared to my friends who have to have personal care assistance to survive. And those personal care assistants are taking care of multiple people. They're going back to their homes. They're doing the best they can. They're completely overwhelmed. And that means that my disabled friends are being put at risk of exposure because the only way to survive is to be taken care of. And then we're still lucky compared to a lot of disabled people live in assisted care facilities.
Right.
And when we hear a lot about nursing homes, we think of the elderly, the tragic, tragic loss of this, you know, thousands of elderly wise people. But in those numbers are also disabled people that have lived in these long-term facilities, and their deaths and their memories are not really being acknowledged. And in the earlier part of the pandemic, disabled lives were really disvalued, and we were hearing things like, it only kills old people and people with underlying conditions, like we're not worth saving. And it was very demoralizing for the disabled community, a community that already struggles with really deep cutbacks to their access to health care and their access to independent living.
We're talking with Maysoon Zaid here on Downtown. We need comedy more than ever with what's going on, but is it harder? What are the additional challenges of trying to make people laugh? We're in the midst of a pandemic and God knows everything else happening in America.
Well, one of the biggest challenges is now we're up against the most famous comics and actors. So it used to be like, hey, come watch my show, and it was just like you. And now it's like, hey, look, Jake Gyllenhaal is bored, and he's doing comedy. So, like, we're up against the most famous people in the world right now, so it's very hard to pull an audience. And for me, the hardest part is, honestly, I feed as a comic so much off of my audience, and not being able to hear them laugh makes my job so difficult because you don't want to, like, pause obnoxiously. It kind of feels like Jeb Bush saying clap for me. But if you don't give them time to laugh and you just barrel through, that comedic element is kind of stripped of it. So that's difficult. The second thing that's difficult is I have like pandemic fog, which means like I just forget things all the time during the pandemic. And I didn't realize what it was. And then I was watching one of these talk shows that's definitely true. And they said, our nervous systems are working overtime to protect us because we're living in dangerous times. And that's why we forget stuff. So it's like I'll be in the middle of a bit and I'll just trail off and be like, I think we're all going to die. You know, which is not really as uplifting as I try to be as a comic. And the third biggest challenge is not only talking about the pandemic, because I assume that people who are coming to tune into comedy want a little bit of an escape. And so it's hard not to joke about the pandemic constantly. It's hard to remember what I talked about before or figure out what else in the world is happening. That was until an American president gassed his own people for a photo op. And then I got a bunch of comedy as well as more of that forgetful pandemic stress brain.
Speaking of that, did you see the picture? It's all over the internet today of the president and the first lady in the church and that bizarre photo?
Yes, I did. And I mean, if that was the poster of like, so So what I tweeted was the word shaitan in Arabic, which means devil. I mean, they look completely, completely sinister. It looks like a cheesy B movie poster from the 70s where these two demonic people take over the world and all the good people disappear. Because I think what's so cool, so awesome about that picture is the church is empty, but not because people are socially distancing, just because nobody would want to be there.
I was saying earlier, the only thing missing was her holding up a copy of today's newspaper so we know she's still alive.
Oh, I would have loved for them to be holding a creepy baby. Like a very, very, very pale baby with big, big blue eyes and super pink lips. Like a creepy, creepy looking baby.
So like,
it made me really happy.
So like Jared Kushner?
That's actually exactly what should have happened. Don should have just been carrying Jared Kushner. Did you hear? He's 6'3" and 233 pounds. His physical came out. Apparently, he weighs Bunker Boy weighs 5 pounds more than my cat. It's a miracle. He's the chosen one.
I
love the fact that Tammy Duckworth called him a tin pot dictator.
Oh, yes, yes. That was great.
Because, I mean, I just think she's, by the way, in my top three choices for Veep. I think she is the most boss woman in the Senate. I mean, she's a veteran who lost both of her legs and had a baby at 50 and, like, rolled onto the, you know, Senate floor as an optional wheelchair user who proves that we're not always faking. If you see us in a wheelchair and then see us walking, it doesn't mean we're faking. And I think she's such a great foil to that coward of mayonnaise in the sun known as Mike Pence.
I love that description. That is fantastic. Yeah, I've really enjoyed your TED Talk. I got 99 problems. Palsy is just one. And that has been viewed by apparently, what, about 3/4 of the population of the planet now? Over a billion views?
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I think what's so interesting about it is that the TED Talk is translated into 47 different languages. And in a lot of places that the video went viral, they were places where people hadn't necessarily ever seen a functional disabled adult. Disabled people are often thought of as like happy snowflake angel babies that never grow up and you should probably donate to. And it was really empowering to a lot of young people worldwide to see an adult who did have a disability and was independent and speaking like an adult. And, you know, I like to say I look like the lost Kardashian, so I also brought sexy back to disability in the TED Talk. And I had a huge career before the TED Talk. I did a Live Nation tour called Arabs Gone Wild. I did a movie with Adam Sandler. But the TED Talk catapulted me to, like, Hillary Clinton-like speaking rates, and it changed my life, and it made me realize that, sadly, disability is a lot easier to live with the more cash you have.
Oh, I'm sure. And you also got
until
to appear.
Until a pandemic hits, and none of that matters at all. It was the great equalizer.
You also got to do, I don't know, was it a dream of yours? I know you wanted to do it, to be on General Hospital.
It was. So since I was 5 years old, my dream in life was to be on General Hospital because clearly my parents did not monitor my television watching. And I went and studied theater, and my first acting gig was as an extra on a soap opera called As the World Turns. And when I became a comic, it was because I really didn't see people who looked like me on TV, but I saw people like me in the world of comedy, like Richard Pryor. So when I became a comic and I started getting popular and I was on like Queen Latifah show or Meredith Vieira show or 60 Minutes, I made sure to always mention General Hospital. I even was a staff writer at the Daily Beast. I was writing a column about Palestine, and I found a way to compare Luke from General Hospital to Yasser Arafat. That's how hard I worked, and I can send that article for you to link if people don't believe me.
Yes.
That is how hard I worked on making sure I always mention General Hospital. And then in March of 2017, Frank Valentini, the executive producer of General Hospital, reached out to me and said they wanted to create a character for me. So now I play Zara Amir, an enigmatic lawyer with a shady past who always wins, and we don't know what her past is because it hasn't been written. It could really be anything. And what I love about this character is that she's not written as disabled. She's disabled because I am. We have never addressed it. We don't make an issue of it. The entire crew has been amazing at accommodating me, and it's a dream come true, but it really, really exceeded all of my wildest dreams.
Well, Maysoon, you are an absolute delight to talk with. Read Maysoon's book, Find Another Dream. Go to the website, maysoon.com. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Give whatever she likes, if it's a chuck under the chin or a little rub of the ears, please do that to Beyonce for us.
Beyonce likes the salsa, so we'll do a couple of steps right now.
Fantastic. Well, I hope we can get you back on again down the road in happier times.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. That is Maysoon Zaid here on Downtown.